Okay, my name is Linda. I'm an alcoholic, and I am talking with Stephen today. I'll go ahead and let him introduce himself.
My name is Stephen Smith. I am an alcoholic.
So, Stephen, today we're going to talk about your experience, strength, and hope in the AA program. I guess we could start from the beginning. When did you know you were an alcoholic?
Well, I knew I was an alcoholic a long time ago, but I was in denial. I tried to beat it, thinking that maybe I wasn't as bad as people said I was. So I kept drinking, mostly out of fear. I got to the point where I needed to quit drinking, but I couldn't stop. And it was just easier to keep drinking.
Okay.
And
so when did you have your first drink? What was your first experience with alcohol?
My first drink was my dad and I was in southern Missouri at a sawmill picking up lumber for the farm, and the old guys were sitting around the potbelly stove, and they was drinking whiskey. Well, Dad didn't drink, but he offered me some. So I took a shot of whiskey, and from that moment on, I knew I loved what it felt like. So I pursued that on into high school. Peer pressure was probably the cause of me drinking in high school, so I could be one of the guys and gain popularity. Been hanging out with the jocks, per se, the guys that were doing well in high school, football, basketball, and baseball, and so I wanted to be one of them. Therefore, I drank just to be in the social circle.
Did you find that you drank more than the others that were in that social circle?
I learned that early, too. It wasn't never one drink or two drinks. I always drank to get drunk. Out of fear of rejection. I wanted so much to be a part of the in crowd, so to speak, that I drank to be popular. So the girls would like me better.
Did they?
Not till they see when I acted. And I was the first one to get drunk and pass out. And I was the first one to get hauled off to the back seat of a car so I could sleep it off. And that went on for many, many years. And then when I joined the service, there again, I had to be part of the in crowd, one of the guys. So whenever they were drinking, I was drinking to be a part of that social circle that was important to me, to be a part of.
What was your first experience with AA, and why did you go? How long ago was that?
Oh, that was many years ago. Even before I went into service, I had some public intox, and the judge made me go to AA. I forget what other punishment I had. AA was the start, and I went because of what he was telling me that I needed to do and it made me angry. I went out of hatred of being told to go there, and I didn't want to go there. I wanted to stay drunk. You get drunk and stay drunk. So that's how it started. For a long time, I never believed the people in AA and what they were saying, because I was so addicted to Alcoholics Anonymous, drinking, that I figured they was too. And how could they have fun in life without alcohol? And I wanted to have fun. So I drank to have fun. Sometimes it was good in my mind, and most of the time it was bad. The results got worse.
So did you comply with what the judge wanted by going to AA that first time?
I did.
And then what happened after that?
The judge eased up on me, so I eased back into my drinking. there wasn't no penalties or any consequences after I fulfilled his wish. So I just fell back in my own habit of running around with people that drank.
So that was your first DWI?
First one I got was, I was married at that time. And I would call my wife to come bail me out. And she done that throughout our whole marriage.
How many times do you think?
I'd be safe in saying at least 10 or 15 times. She was extremely codependent. And I knew I could fall back on her to bail me out. So I continued my drinking and partying and staying on 2 or 3 days at a time, spending my paycheck. And at the time, I thought I was having a good time. I didn't have any concern about my wife and the kids and what they was needing at home, because I figured Shirley was her name. I figured she'd take care of it, whatever was going on. Because I was used to her bailing me out.
And then that marriage dissolved because of your drinking?
It did.
And what happened there?
Well, she kicked me out of the house because she was tired of my drinking and crowding around. And I thought, oh boy, I'm free now. I don't have to put up with her and them kids. I'm just partying and have a good old time. And then situations arose, losing jobs, losing relationships, running with people that were as low life as I was, because I couldn't stand being around people that, I called them goody two-shoes. They wanted to raise their family and go to church, go to work every day, bring home the paycheck, and, you know, all that good stuff. And that just wasn't me. I made that money. I'm going to spend it the way I want to. So the kids suffered, as well as my wife, because of my drinking. I got I got divorce papers when I was in jail the first time. So we divorced, and I went my separate way, and she went hers. And I continued to party and hold down a job. I meant to do the best I could on my own. And that wasn't working either, because my alcoholism got worse. I was drinking when I got up in the morning. I was drinking at lunchtime. I couldn't wait to get off work to drink some more. And I kept losing jobs because of it. So I straightened up for a while. Her and I got back together. And quite a while, probably a good year. I drank just a little bit here and there, but she was okay with it. It was my drunkenness and my absenteeism that got the best of her. So after that second marriage to the same woman, we divorced again. And that was the end of it after that. Well, not too long after the second time we got divorced, I was in a treatment center in Kansas City. And let me see here. I had a friend from our hometown call me and told me that my son had been murdered. So I got the details on that. Apparently he owed the drug dealer money. And he wouldn't pay or couldn't pay. So they killed him. And I went to the funeral. And it was really ugly. Of course, my wife was just out of her mind with pain and anguish, disappointment, and anger at me. And we had quite an argument at the funeral. That was pretty ugly. And I carried that blame for a long time. That if I'd have been there and been sober to watch over my children, then none of this would have happened. But I said, to heck with it. I mean, what's done's done. I'm just going to continue drinking and having a good time. So there was a period that I got a handle on my drinking to a point where I could at least hold a job, take care of myself. But I was getting drunk every night, and my work performance was probably lousy, I'd say.
What kind of work was it?
Oh, various jobs. Worked at a tire shop once, as a carpenter, as a rough-end carpenter, as a concrete finisher. And we poured basements for a while. Well, back in my time, all of these construction workers always drank after work. I figured, hell, that's where I need to be. And it wasn't too bad to call in sick because the boss knew we all got drunk the night before. And that went on for quite a while. I became a pretty good cook because of my upbringing. So I decided to try cooking for a while. And so I got good at it. But these little mom and pop places didn't serve alcohol. I figured, well, if I'm that good a cook, I need to get on one of these nightclubs, one of these, fancy restaurants that serve liquor. And that went on for quite a while. I could drink during the day. But I always watched myself not to get too drunk. I just needed to have a drink throughout the day, different periods of the day, so I could make it through the day.
While you were cooking?
While I was working, cooking. Eventually that went by the wayside because I've several of the restaurant owners I get fired in one place, I go to work at another place, and they call for references. And there again, back in my time, you could always get a good reference. And they'd fudge a little bit on the bad reference. Just enough to get me under the wire kind of thing. So that continued for quite a while. And that got so bad that I couldn't find a job nowhere because I'd get drunk and mess things up, you know, and I'd get angry and throw things across the kitchen and just talk mean to people, disrespect people, all because of the need for alcohol. I needed to relax. I needed to be happy in order to do my job.
So let's travel forward a little bit. Your experience with Alcoholics Anonymous. At what point, you said you were pretty young your first time you went to AA.
Yeah.
How young were you, in your 20s?
Yeah, about my mid-20s.
And how much sobriety do you have now?
Now I got 6 months.
And how old are you now?
73.
73. So you've been in and out of the program for almost 50 years?
How about that? I just never could get the hang of it. I just didn't believe that people could go for years and years without drinking. They said they was an alcoholic. They should still be drinking. Even though they showed up at meetings, I didn't ever know if they didn't get drunk last night. In my mind, I thought they just pulled my leg. So I relapsed many times because of that. I just didn't want to believe that if you say you're an alcoholic, how can you live without alcohol? I couldn't. I tried going to church as a remedy for my alcoholism, and that really didn't cut it either. I didn't feel fit. Like I fit in. I didn't dress right. I didn't like what the pastor was talking about. And I could probably say that I really didn't believe in God. I believed in God because people said I should. Because people say, well, this happened to me because God seen to it that it happened. And I had a real hard time of believing in something I couldn't see and touch. That was probably my biggest downfall.
So how are you feeling now that you have 6 months and sobriety? Is it different now?
Yes, it is. It's a lot different. I actually feel more mature, and I got responsibilities now where I didn't have before. mainly because I don't do well by myself. When I live alone, I find every reason in the world to get drunk. No matter how silly it may sound to other people, it was a legitimate excuse to get drunk, in my mind. But so many things have happened in the past. Like I've mentioned before at other AA meetings, you know, I can take a drink today, and by the end of the day, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Almost word for word, step by step. And within a week, I could write a book, tell you exactly what's going to happen because I'm drinking. And it happened over and over and over and over. And I had so many people care about me, try to help me. I just wouldn't have it. I thought they would be lying to me. You're such a good person, Stephen, when you're sober. But when you're drunk, you're just crazy. I don't want to be around you. You're vulgar. You're nasty. You're sick in the head. And today I realized every time I started to go to AA, and I made an honest effort to believe and trust in what they were telling me, things went absolutely wonderful. It's when I started running my own show that things backfired. And I finally realized, you know, Stephen, you don't know it all. Why don't you shut up for a while and listen to these people? And maybe you can get a few days clean and sober.
So are you running your own show now?
No, I do have a God of my understanding. He's got a big part in my life. I got responsibilities, and I feel good about people starting to trust me, starting to believe me, and I got so much to lose, which don't mean nothing to nobody else, but what little I got, it means a lot to me, and that's something I didn't have in the past.
What
some little things I had already, but I took them for granted. I don't take them for granted anymore. And I'm very grateful for that.
What words of advice do you have for somebody that's new in the program, or maybe been around a while and just can't get it? What words of advice do you have for that person?
Well, I'd probably say, don't give up. Keep coming back. You might slip, but don't let that discourage you. Pick yourself up and get back to a meeting. Explain to people what's going on with you. And there's people in them rooms that will help you. Honestly and sincerely help you. They're not trying to get in your wallet. They're not trying to get you in bed. They're not trying to steal from you, by no means. They're actually, honestly trying to help you. And that's another reason why I got six months clean, because I believe in them people. I was talking the other day at a meeting, you know, a lot of times when I get something crazy in my head, I just flash back and I remember all your old faces. And how come I see you every time I'm at a meeting? There must be something to it. And it gives me hope. And life hasn't been too bad. I got a different living arrangement now. And I'm very grateful for it. I got some responsibilities. There again, don't mean nothing to nobody else. but it means a lot to me to have these responsibilities, and makes me feel good that I can complete them. And doing for others means a whole lot anymore. I'm not perfect, but I care about other people today. I've been guilty about taking other people's inventory sometimes, when that's the wrong thing to do. I need to be taking care of, I need to take my own inventory, especially on a daily basis. Did I have a good day today? Did I hurt anybody's feelings? Did I cuss anybody out? Did I lie to them? That's another thing. I'm an habitual liar. You couldn't believe a word I said. I look you dead in the face and lie to you. And that ain't no good, because I don't like nobody lying to me. You know, I understand that now. Whatever I've done wrong to you, I usually don't want you doing it to me. So why do it?
So in all of your drinking career, Stephen, how many DWIs did you finally end up with? Would you guess? God.
There again, back when I was first started drinking, they used to call a DWI careless and imprudent driving. And Mad Mothers Against Drunk Drivers stepped in, and it became drinking while intoxicated. But through the years, that got even, the penalties got even worse. I'll be safe in saying I probably got at least 15 DWIs.
15.
And that ain't counting the public intox. I got a boatload of them.
So alcohol has pretty much kicked your butt.
It has. It's run so many good relationships in the past. And I knew they was honest, sincere relationships. But I continued drinking and making an ass out of myself. They don't want nobody to be around a guy like that. You know, I figured that much out on my own too. And I agree. I wouldn't want to be around nobody like that.
So hopefully this is the end of that cycle, and congratulations on the 6 months.
Thank you very much.
And I guess that there's nothing else that you want to add?
I use my higher power every morning when I get up and every night before I go to bed with prayer. Sometimes it's short, and sometimes I drag it out till I fall asleep. But I try to talk to him at a minimum twice a day. And so, doing the next right thing is very important. I know right from wrong. And most grown-ups too. So if you just do the right thing, no matter what, you'll be all right for just one day.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Stephen. And thank you for allowing me to do this interview or interaction. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Linda.